Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships. Hello and welcome. So I've got a question for you. Why is dating going so wrong for you? I wanted to talk about this today because I've seen so many people fall into the trap of listening to things like send these, you know, 5 texts and make them fall in love with you. Say these 10 things. Say the things that, you know, every man must hear to fall in love. Say these things to women, you know, to make them fall instantly in love with you. Can I just say, if you have to make anyone fall in love with you, it's not love that you're getting. You know, what happened when we, you know, what happened to the whole thing about real, honest and genuine love? Where you build it on truth and you build it on trust. Because when you build it on those things, guess what? It's real love that you're getting then. So one of the things that I want to talk about today is all the different mistakes that so many people make when it comes to actually meeting and dating the right person for you. So the first thing is, how many people do you know who have come out of a relationship and they dive straight into dating when you can see, like anyone can see, that they're not ready. But they have this yearning for love. It's like, oh, I need love. It's like, no, you need air, you need water, you need food. You know, love, it's not something that's external, it's something that's internal. You know, you love yourself first, you love your life first, you love your friends, you love your family. It's not about having to scrimp and scrape for, you know, the tiniest bits of love that someone can chuck out or just attention that someone can chuck out. And you usually find that people who go into that pattern of just needing to go out there and get love often suffer from things like codependency in relationships. They often suffer from things like depression because everything is about the external and also about the past. Because they tend to focus on all the different elements of a relationship to prove that they are worthy, to prove that they're able to be loved, to prove that they're able to, you know, be important to someone. And the problem is if you think about it, when, let's kind of flip it for just for a second. Let's say that you entered a relationship with someone and they made you the keeper of their happiness. You have to be, you know, completely responsible of their happiness and how they feel loved and all these different things. How much pressure would you feel in that relationship? How much pressure would you feel? Because that person doesn't know how to self-regulate, that person doesn't feel worthy. And would you feel close to that person or would you feel really distant? Would you feel like you were constantly working for the scraps of love? Because the truth is, those people who think, oh, I need to be in a relationship, I've got so much love to give, and they try and dive straight into any other relationship just because they need that attention or need that so-called love, because it's not love. The thing is, they think they're being loving, but actually they're holding people at arm's length. They're not even able to bring someone in because they don't appreciate themselves first. There was a really good quote. I can't remember who said it. I think I read it in a Brené Brown book, but I don't know if it was her quote or someone else's quote, but it was, you can't love someone unless you love yourself first, or you can only love someone as much as you love yourself. And it's so true. The other thing is being able to heal. We often underestimate the effects of, breakups, childhood and trauma, all these different things that actually stops us from being able to fully connect. So it might be that you've been in a narcissistic relationship. You might be someone who suffered from PTSD. You might be someone who suffered from depression or anxiety. Well, those things are really going to hinder your connection, your relationships. It's also going to hinder the relationship you have with yourself because we are so critical of ourselves. We don't give ourselves that permission to actually be human. Everything has to be perfect. Don't put that on Facebook. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's like, no, just be human. Because also, if you're not human, how can you be loved? If you're not allowing yourself to be you, how can you be loved for you? The funny thing is, we actually are more happy with other people than we are with ourselves. So when we look at our behaviours or our appearance, we're going to be more critical of that than someone else's. How crazy is that? So automatically we're doing things to actually break down the relationship that we have with ourselves. So that's obviously really, really important. So we've got this healing, we've got self-love. The next thing, and this is something I see again and again and again, how many people do you feel are living their best life? Not many. And the thing is, if you haven't got that down, if you're not living the life that you want to spring out of bed for, well, you'll probably try and look for a relationship where you're trying to live your life through them. You're trying to have your happiness be, the relationship rather than the life that you've built. And spoiler alert, that creates codependency. So you end up in this relationship where you've got no passion, no chemistry. You're just completely enmeshed. You don't know who you are or what decisions to make unless you're with your partner. That is not a way to live. That is one of the reasons why so many relationships break down. It's because you're not allowed to be yourself. You don't feel good enough to be yourself. And you end up with two people who end up almost becoming the same person. No. This is why it's so important to have a life that you enjoy. They have a life that they enjoy. But you come together. You come together because you're bringing so many different elements from your life, their life, and you're learning from each other, you're growing from each other. And that's so important because that also creates desire, that creates chemistry. And one of the killers, the main killers of desire and chemistry is, well, it's not seeing each other as equals, and it's also not having the space to be able to actually desire and miss each other as well. Because like I said, most partners want to be in each other's pockets. It doesn't work like that. So, are you living your best life? And if not, what are you going to do about it? This is actually something that we, worked with a lady called Jenny on, because Jenny had gone through a breakup. And, as breakups do, they literally shake up everything within their wake. You end up losing your house, you end up moving, you end up changing jobs, you end up changing so many different elements of your life within such a short space of time. And guess what? Spoiler alert, that creates trauma. People really do forget about the psychological elements of trauma. And what I'm actually going to do is I'm actually going to share Jenny's interview, because I actually interviewed Jenny, because we worked together. She went through so much. She'd literally escaped a narcissistic relationship. She'd been in a toxic marriage. She had to move, she ended up moving back with her parents. She moved states. She ended up moving to Florida. And guess what? Despite, going through a divorce, going through all this change, moving, all these different elements going, she ended up meeting her ideal partner. And I won't spoil it. I'm going to let you actually listen to the interview because I think this is going to inspire a lot of people. And I think as well, it's going to be able to help you realize the important things that you need to understand when it comes to meeting the right person. Because Jenny had so many different realizations that she didn't have before from going through our program. So take some time to listen to Jenny now.
So I'm super excited to be chatting with you all today. I have got Jenny here who has, we've been working together, and she has met someone that she feels compatible with and aligned with. And we felt it was really important to actually share Jenny's story because it's quite a story. It's been quite a journey. So I tell you what, to start off with, should we kind of dive into where you were when we first started talking and what was happening and going on with you?
So it was last year. So it was like August of 2021. And at that point, I had been through a major breakup. There was, I'd been cheated on, and it was like a longer term relationship that I ended up like having a lot of changes going on in my life. And I ended up kind of rebounding right into a narcissistic relationship. And that's what actually attracted me to you, was because, you know, I was able to pull out of that relationship. And I remember even like when we first started talking, I was still considering trying to repair things. So like I was really traumatized, but it was something really opened my eyes when we did start working together, is that I always thought that my empathy made me a good lover, but it made me a target for, you know, narcissists. And I happened to just be in a very vulnerable time in my life. And I never, ever thought that I'd find myself, you know, a victim of being with a narcissist. But also like the behavior treat, you know, the behavior therapy and learning to read people, the body, you know, body language and stuff really helped, because I, you know, found myself back in the dating world and just realizing like, hey, things have changed since, you know, 10 years ago, you know, how to date and how to go into the relationship, knowing like what it is you want, you know, building boundaries, but watching out for people, you know, that are, you know, that are predators, right? It's not healthy, right? And learning, you know, about myself, right? How do I function in relationships, and how is my subconscious or my programming or patterns affecting who I attract or who do I select, right? Yeah, so I was in a very vulnerable, broken place when we met, and I wanted to like overcome the trauma from the narcissist, which was really damaging, and never find myself in that position again. But also knowing that was it the Dating with Intelligence program was going to help me with like really dialing in compatibility and how to operate in a relationship, you know, in a healthy way, and you know, break down dating profiles if that was the way that I chose. So it was kind of like a twofold approach. So I was like, okay, this is a 1-2 punch. Double whammy. Let's heal and get over the narcissism thing. Let's learn some stuff about the body language. Let's really set a solid foundation of, you know, qualifying people up front, you know, so that I can manifest, you know, a really beautiful relationship.
Yeah, I think like one of the things that has been absolutely amazing with you, it's like, yeah, you come out of this, you know, horrible situation of being cheated on. You then obviously, we've all been there, rebounded with someone who is toxic, you know, narcissistic, who, you know, when we're in those situations, we don't often see things as clearly, especially when we're feeling vulnerable. But the other thing that I thought was amazing about your journey was, not only had you gone through this huge breakup, you had moved back with parents, family. And then during this time, you actually decided to move to Florida, like move to a different state altogether. You know, first time living on your own ever, because that was a bit scary to begin with, and you know, and being able to also navigate that whilst going through a divorce and then meeting someone. It's like that in like such a short period. I mean, where are we now? We're like in the start of March, and you know, we started working together in August, and you know, you're already, you know, done incredible things in such a short space of time. So yeah, even down to your whole mindset, because how did it actually feel when you were thinking about, you know, wanting to move before, like, yeah, when we first started working together? I know that was something that was proper scary for you to actually consider.
Yeah, and all of this too, you know, in the middle of a global pandemic, like that's really what, like I said, there was no safety anywhere, right? And that's why I just defaulted to like, you know, After the narcissist, I was like, I was living in Florida. I had moved down here. And then I ended up just going home, you know, until I could really just get my bearings and just do some healing. Like I really needed to be around familiarity and my family. And then I was trying to figure out where was I being called to? And I knew that staying in the winter up north was just not going to cut it for me. But I found that, you know, I was called back to Florida, but I came to a place where I felt like the dating community would be more my scene, which actually was like acrobatic yoga, like finding those spiritual people that are, you know, they're all about consciousness and just kindness. So I knew that I was doing it right the second time. Like the place that I moved was not the place I wanted to move. Like I told you, like when I originally moved to Florida, it was getting out of the betrayal relationship. Mm-hmm. And I moved like 5 times within the period of a month and then right into the narcissist. And then I was like, I got to get out of the state. And so now it was almost like I tried it. I did a dry one. I'm like, the next time around, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it with a level head when I've allowed my nervous system to calm down. And yeah, it was a little bit scary. It was new, you know, getting up an apartment in a place that I didn't know anybody or have any family or support system. But I felt like I needed to prove to myself that I can do this, right? And I needed to just push myself out of the comfort zone. And I know that I would adapt, as I always have. You know, and it's been great to have you there. Like when I would meet somebody and I'd be like, oh, this is what I'm feeling about this, or this is what's coming up. And you just like, give me that advice and help me break through and move on. And a lot of the times is I would just draw upon the knowledge that I've had, you know, that I've gained in the last year, which has been very pivotal because I was lacking that knowledge in all of my past relationships, you know, and now I realize, you know, hey, this is a game changer, you know.
Yeah, I think, because I'm thinking even down to like, well, one thing that we did do is obviously anyone that you dated or anyone that you met, it was like, cool, send them a picture or send me a couple of messages so I can kind of see like, and I was showing you different things of what I was seeing as well. So you were able to pick that up and navigate it. And I think because you were able to put yourself in the right kind of communities as well, like you said, spiritual, awakened people, people like who are super, super aligned with you. You didn't even have to use a dating app to meet this guy.
Yeah, and I really didn't want to. Like I said, I know dating apps have their place. And like I said, looking at my dating pool, the fact that I'm in my mid-30s and I need somebody that doesn't want kids, who doesn't believe in the vaccine agenda, you know, that, you know, is a certain age and in a very high standard kind of bucket. Like my dating pool is very small, you know. So it was like, for me, like I said, it was going to have to really be like a win the lottery kind of a deal when I meet that person, you know, and feeling like I would know when I met them because I was very clear with the checklist. It was actually funny when I met Matt, who we'll get into, as I literally pulled out that list that we made many months ago, and read off everything that I wanted. And I was like, yep, that's you. And I was like, here you go. Like, I'm not lying. Like, here, like, this is what I put as my list of my ideal person right here.
Oh, I love that.
With the exception of tattoos, because I'm like, I like tattoos, and I had this like mental image of who is this person. He was kind of like a spiritual badass or whatever, you know, but in his own way, like, you don't need, you know, tattoos, you know. It's just I find those attractive, right? But you know, who knows, maybe there's a tattoo in our future, you know.
You never know. Get some transfers, see how it goes.
Yeah, it was really cool, like I said, to just know that all of that hard work had paid off. Like, I actually told him about it. He was like, yeah, you know, I did these 12 sessions once a week, and I was doing this course, and, you know, I've done my healing, to let him know, like, hey, you know, I'm not coming to you broken. I'm coming to you. Like, all those things that happened to me really made me stronger and more resilient, right? We have to go through the crap to become flexible and resilient, you know, and as much as that stuff wasn't fun, you know, I survived, right? And I'm not going to let the trauma ruin this next relationship.
Yes, I freaking love this. And the other thing I'm going to sort of like dive into is, up before we get to Matt, because obviously everyone wants to know about Matt, because Matt sounds awesome. So you like you were saying before, like, there was that fear of like, how can you meet someone? It's like you said, you're spiritual, you're highly aware, you've done personal development to a very high level, like you've worked with like Bob Proctor and, you know, done some crazy things in your personal development. You've even done bodybuilding as well in the past. So you've got that kind of like mindset, very strong, determined mindset. You know, you don't want kids, and it's like, okay, cool, how do we get you to meet someone who's aligned with that? Did you actually think we were going to, you know, you were going to be able to meet someone through our work together? Did you have your doubts and did you have your concerns, especially when you started looking at things like that to begin with?
So I think, like, I had, I think it's natural to have those doubts, or like, you know, you want it now and it's not happening, so is it ever going to happen? But actually, right after the last person I sort of had, you know, a falling out with right before I met Matt, is I just like, and I'll tell you something, like what he told me is, I just was like, you know what? I'm like, I feel like my standards are too high and I'm just disqualifying, you know, people, and I just have to lower my standards. And so with this last person before Matt, I did a little bit. Like, I mean, I felt this person's good enough and I could see a future and it could be fun and I don't need that. I was starting to like kind of compromise, justify, right? Like, but then like when I met Matt, I was just like, he said something like, you know, cause he's very connected to God and spirit, as he said, I visualize my angels reaching out to her and telling her, hang in there, you know? And I said, so something told me like, cause I always told myself, listen, if I give up on this and if I doubt, then the answer is definitely no. But at least if there's a chance that I still could meet a person. And I'm like, I know they're out there, they're just not ready yet, or they're just not single, but it doesn't mean that because they're not available right now and I haven't met them, that it's never going to happen. Like I usually, you know, you have to kind of talk yourself through those doubts. But a lot of times when we want something and it's not manifesting, we're like, what am I doing wrong? I'm ready. I want it. You know, I've done all this work and, you know, I'm done messing around with all these people that are just non-committal or emotionally unavailable. And I'm like, how much more do I have to suffer to prove that I'm worthy of this? But when I met Matt, it was like, it was just, I told him actually too, that, like I said, I had to do my inner work to be ready for this, for me to be able to decipher that this was okay, knowing that it was absolutely not the ideal perfect situation and that there was a question of readiness because of, you know, one relationship ending, one beginning, there not being enough time. But for me to basically say, like, I can have the patience and compassion to walk this, you know, walk with you through this. And even like to basically sideline my needs, because right now yours are a little stronger, because you are worth it. I see your value and I hear the truth and see it so clearly that this is a yes, a full body yes. And I didn't feel like there was that anxiety, right? Or that over analytical, like I was totally in my heart and not in my head, which is where, you know, I'm very cerebral. I spend a lot of time when I'm kind of thinking about people and meeting people because they trigger me. Yes. They make me step out of the feminine and they get me into this place of having to analyze and having to lead and having to wonder. And with Matt, there was none of that. Like we were so compatible right from the get-go. And it was apparent because it was energetically, it wasn't just what we said, it was what was felt without words, you know, that really struck a, you know, a chord with us. So
I love that. It's what you felt without words. Like, yes, 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 yes. Because like you were saying before, it's like, you know, the previous person you were talking about, it was like, oh yeah, compromise. Or maybe my needs have, you know, I'm asking for too much and things like that. And it's like, yeah, you tend to go into the zone when, you know, we're afraid of not being able to get what we want, of settling. And it's like this compromise. But then when you meet someone who actually, like you said, ticks all those freaking boxes where you don't have to play the games, because I think we've all been there, like, oh, do we have to text a little bit later? Or, you know, do we have to change ourselves slightly in order for them to like us? It's like you have none of that. So like one thing that I loved what you said when our previous conversation is that you just spoke effortlessly for hours in a car park a few times.
Yeah. And that was what was beautiful about it, is that right from the get-go, because I think what a lot of times, like what scares people away, is that true intimacy is built with vulnerability. Like the more that we can open up and be vulnerable and open ourselves up to all those scary things that we don't like rejection, abandonment, all that stuff. Like Matt was just very vulnerable from the get-go, but he said that I created a safe feeling for him to be able to do that. Whereas in his previous relationship, it was completely unsafe. Right. So for him to be able to do that, like I was like, wow, that is the most masculine thing you can do. That is the most courageous thing that you can do. Also knowing that, like, he, when he first met me, was like, oh, you know, I can never be with her. She's too, you know, her light is bright, or she's so beautiful or so fit. And like, he just kind of had that little moment of insecurity, but then we started to gravitate towards each other. And he's like, I really didn't really see your physical. He's like, I just felt your love, that you were pure, that you were sincere and fun. And I just wanted to get to know you, even on a friend level, you know, like, From very early on when we spoke, like we felt that there was just trust, right? Like we felt a genuine, authentic, loving energy. And I think I don't know if you heard this, but like basically said, he, even from the get-go, he only really wanted to get to know me like as a friend, you know? And then we saw that it was going to develop into something more. But when we had this amazing conversation where we just realized how mature we both were, and that it, the conversation just flowed. And like I said, I don't know if you want me to tell the whole story of how it happened, but like, it just, you just feel ourselves gravitating towards each other. And that's how this works, is that when you know that, like, because obviously I believe in manifestation and attraction, like that's why it does have to be effortless, and you have to believe in divine timing. So that was my learning of, you know, that I won't know when that answer comes, when that person is going to show up, but I just know that I want to be ready. Yes. And I'm putting out this needy energy of wanting it. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go with that, because what I'm going to do is force relationships that aren't meant, you know, and basically I said, I surrender. And when I met Matt, you know, he, like I said, I created an element of safety for him to step into his masculine. And he also created safety for me to relax into receiving into the feminine energy, which is something I never felt before, because I'm so dominant in my masculine. I think I was saying he originally was a little bit intimidated by me, which that's what I'm saying, is I was appreciative of the fact that he saw beyond, you know, just the physical and the intimidation there, but that like my energy was very pure and loving, and that he was attracted to. And same with him, you know, he's obviously a bright smile, just super, super nice, kind, just loving kind of a person. And then obviously once we realized like what's really, who are we all about, we just opened right up. You know, there was no like having to be guarded. There was no having to filter, or, you know, it just, and like I said, we saw each other for like day after day after day, and we just like became inseparable, you know. And it was in such a healthy, healthy way, because we knew like that we, like he told me, you know, you're unlocking parts of me in my heart that I know I've abandoned or I've had to hide in this past way. And I said, and he said, I know that you were softening. And I said, yeah, I'm watching you rise like into the masculine, you know, that of being the person you've always destined to be, and have had to kind of have a governor on that. You know, so it's like this beautiful thing, because we know that we've come to each other for healing, for immense healing, right? And that's what a relationship is. And it's like in your teens or 20s, you don't really know what a relationship is for, you know, and you're not equipped to handle traumas and attachment styles and all this stuff that they never teach you. But I think that, you know, he's done a lot of work, I've done a lot of work, and finally, like, the universe, like, hey, you're both ready, and here you go. And he talked about visions that he's had of like your eyes, what they look like, or your hair, or where we met. And so like it was like all the signs just pointed and guided us. We do think that there was this divine thing, right? That's why we spoke the same language, right? And he said, when you meet somebody that speaks that language, you don't have to spend a lifetime translating your soul.
Yes. Oh I love that. That is gorgeous. Yes, it's so true. Because you actually see each other. It's like, you know, it sounds like even from the get-go, there was depth to conversations. It wasn't this, hey, how's it going? What you up to? Kiss, kiss. You know, you don't do that in the US, do you? We put X's if we like someone in the UK. So, you know, it's not this kind of like superficial level. It's kind of like, you know, this depth to it. Like you said, you're not having to translate for someone to understand you. There's that instant affinity of like, yeah, I get you, I understand you, I'm on your level.
Yeah. And it was true, right? Like you can feel the truth to the core when you learn to trust your intuition. And like I said, the connection that we had was just, like I said, it was unlike anything. And because, like I said, I had worked with you on like what is a trauma bond, or, you know, like chemistry and the chemical cocktail and stuff. Like I was really careful not to like dive into this head first, even though I wanted to. You know, I kept my wits about me, but he also was keeping his wits about him. And he also really cared about not wanting to hurt me, you know, knowing like he was feeling these feelings, but he wanted to make sure it was safe to feel these feelings and that there was mutuality. And we did it in such a mature way. And like, we have this profound appreciation and gratitude for that. And like, we can just totally, you know, be ourselves, be vulnerable, have these deep conversations. And that's why, like, most people would think we were rushing, right? It's like, well, when things align, they just don't take, we don't delay, right? The connection. And because we were so vulnerable from the get-go, it was easy to connect. There was none of this noise and filters and layers of having to like jump through hoops and figure things out and think about rules and stuff. It just felt liberating, right, for both of us. And we were so on the same page where it wasn't like I was way far ahead of him or he was way far ahead of me, or, you know, like I said, he's just so different from the typical guy that I'm used to being around. And I think like, even when I met him, I was like, I don't know if he's my type. And at the time he was still like engaged in another relationship, so I didn't think that he was even available. So I wasn't thinking about him in that way. But when he did confide in me that, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm, you know, in the middle of a divorce and this is where it's going. And I saw that he had a, you know, he was starting to be attracted to me, and I was like, I'm open, you know, to that. But I'm only going to expect friendship until I feel like he's made a move, right? He wants more. And then, you know, but it was beautiful. It still is beautiful. It's ever unfolding. And like the most important thing for both of us is creating a solid foundation and having that honesty and like devotion and loyalty from the get-go. And like I said, it just makes a relationship so much more fun because you're not like focusing all the work that needs to be done. Or like I said, as things come up, we address them. We have like an open communication. Like, listen, if you have, don't make assumptions, right? Or if you're feeling something, like, let's talk about it, you know? And like, it's just such a healthy connection. And every single day, like, we feel like that bond is growing stronger, you know? And like I said, the more vulnerable we can be, we realize that we are creating safety. And like, that's, people just, let alone when you've known someone for 3 weeks, let alone years, to build that.
But like, if you think about it, how many relationships have you had where both of you have been on the same page, where you can both create that kind of foundation and have the willingness to commit to creating that? Because most people hide, don't they? It's like, so usually one person in or one person out, and it's rare to get that connection where both of you are both in and committing to each other and having each other's best interests at heart.
Yeah. And we talk about, it's so funny because like I said, when we first met, we were kind of having this, like, he was having this just struggle with keeping it platonic, knowing he wanted more. And it was like, and I just felt like I just needed to just set his fears at ease, knowing like he wanted to do the right thing and didn't want to hurt me. But like every time we would like get together, we would talk and reflect about like what was going on in our heads on that day, and that we didn't say because we were feeling it, but we were like, oh no, whatever.
Oh, it's amazing.
So, like the first, like I said, after that day on Sunday, like I said, he picked me up and he wanted to give me a book, and he took me out for tea on the beach and what we watched. And we both felt like we just wanted to like touch each other, but we were both kind of like, hey, keep your hands to yourself. And so it was really funny, but like, I was really feeling drawn to him, but I was like, he kind of told me, you know, like, hey, I just want to keep things sort of platonic or like, you know, whatever. But then it was after that night that he really just asked me, he's like, do you have the courage to walk this path with me, just to navigate these uncharted waters? And I was like, yeah, like I'm totally feeling that. And then, like I said, the next day we were talking, and like, we could just tell that there was more flirtation, but he's like, at night we were on the phone. He like drove over to my place and he's like, I need to make up for last night. And he just really wanted to kiss me. And I had actually had a massage that day on Monday, because we were going to go to, on Monday, we realized that Wednesday, so 2 days later, was going to be his birthday. And we ended up going to this beautiful clear river, you know, kayaking together. I was like, I had a vision of what I wanted to do on that trip. Like, I was like kind of meditating, like, I really wish I could touch your face or kiss you or play with your hair. He's like, I had that vision too. Like, that's what that girl was doing in my vision. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, so on Tuesday, it was almost like I was putting the intention out there and visualizing what I wanted, and then it would just happen. And it was like, wow. Amazing. Like, you know? And the night that we met on Monday, that, you know, we were looking up at the stars, I'm like, hey, there's Orion. He's like, you're freaking me out. Because I said, yeah. I said, I always try to find Orion when I look in the sky. He's like, I've been doing that my whole life. And he's like, I was hoping that one day, like, the lion would, like, people would see me as the lion, right? And I said, you do know that's what Orion's holding is a lion, right? And so there was all these symbolisms and synchronicities, like, that the angels were guiding us. And, like, he's just like, wow, you know. But I just really, like I said, appreciated that both of us were not afraid of this. Like, this was, like, blown away, mind-blowing connection and the synchronicities, and just being like courageous and saying yes to this, knowing it would scare most people away because it's so real and it's so different than what we're used to. Like for me to be able to do this and to say yes to this and to just, you know, go with it, you know?
Yeah. But, and to be yourself, because it sounds like you both appreciate and love the truth of each other. It's like, you know who each other is and you want to connect with that. Yeah, there's none of this playing around and manipulating and game playing and say these 10 things to make them fall in love with you. It's like, no, this is real.
Yeah. And just the mirroring, right? Like just knowing that, like, we love in such a way that was so similar that I didn't have to tell him how to love me or what to do or what pleases me. It was like, he just naturally knew. And I was like, I was like, I literally kept saying to myself, and even my mom, she's like, I wish that you'd get to meet somebody more like you. And I'm like, yeah, I need a male mate. Like, I really do. Like, then I would know, like, that he meets the standards. And so when I met Matt, I was like, man, I see so much of myself in you, the maturity, the depth, the you know, personal development, the divinity. Like I said, when we first started talking, like, when you talk about ancestral trauma and I talked about divine feminine, it was like, we get each other. We can go there.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's just like we just went down this rabbit hole, as Matt calls it, a rabbit trail. That's an inside joke. But, you know, there was humor. There was just purity. There was like, and like I said, for the first time, I just felt that there was this ease. Like, I just can relax. Like, I just was just really enjoying and really present and not having to like think about too far forward or the past or being triggered, you know, but like just truly authentically connecting. And like I said, it was almost like when you're starving or like so thirsty and it's like you finally get that quenched thirst.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, relief. Like this all the hell that I've been through, if I had to do it to get here, like it just kind of made me even also resolve with my past, like the person that betrayed me or the narcissist. I was like, I don't care about all that crap anymore. Like I am so focused on the person in front of me. And like, I just, it, all those other things didn't work out for a reason. Is this is what is meant to be. And yeah. I'm kind of so focused on all this, you know, because it's beautiful. Like I just want everybody to feel this way, because I know that I had to suffer so much, even just being my own worst enemy to get here. But I know that this is the most healing thing that you could have, is when you have a healthy relationship, a mature kind of love. And like I said, you have to do the inner work. Like both Matt and I last year and up till now, we're doing our shadow work. And that is, it is hard, and it is terrifying. And like I said, I wouldn't have anybody do that by themselves. And that's why I was drawn to coaching. When I saw, you know, I even told Matt that I was like, you know, when I'm going to find a coach, I'm like, I get on the phone with them and really feel like, you know, do they want to help me? And can they help me? Yes. And like, you spent extra time with me. And I felt like you were like a blessing. Like you knew exactly what this narcissist was going on and really keeping me from like being sucked back into it. You know, I was like, oh my God, you know, they're strong, you know, that confirmation bias, yes. And those little things. Like I was like, I was blown away when I took that course. I was like, wow. You know, I thought I knew like all this, how to spot this stuff, but there was the warming frog, you know, the boiling frog effect.
Yes.
I was like, wow. Like, so I think anybody, like you said, that whether they've been in a narcissistic relationship should take that so that they don't ever find themselves a prey to that, or to look for the love bombing signs, or to know, you know, what are these things that they do that are like textbook. Like yes. I smelled something was wrong, but he had love bombed so much. And like I said, the whole thing about, you know, taking on this flight and bringing me here and going on all these vacations and all this stuff. Like I was just like, wow, it kind of felt like what the way I felt with Matt, but there was a little bit of anxiety, because I was like, when things started to go sideways, I was like, what is going on here? You know,
it's feeling the difference in that intention. But like, I remember when we first spoke on the phone, and it was like, there's this, you know, guy that seems very controlling and manipulative. I think you were working with another coach at the time.
they all said you need to leave that relationship. Like I had three coaches, because I had like my other coach I've been working with for 5 years. And then, but she's not really a dating coach or, you know, she's more like just mindset and has helped me with, you know, through the divorces. And then I met the breathwork coach, who I only work with briefly, but, you know, he told me like, you need to get out of that, or I can't even work with you if you stay with this person.
That's yes.
and then I met you, and I was like, I felt more aligned with you. Cause like he said, he's like his kind of coaching, like, he's like, this is not a substitute for therapy. And I was like, I felt like he was also a coach that would help you overcome a breakup. And I'm like, well, I feel like what I need right now is to overcome the narcissist part.
Yes.
And because that it was coupled in with the dating compatibility matrix and all that study. Like I just said, like, he was also very young. Like he had a great intention, but I just feel like he didn't have that knowledge that I felt I was needing. So like, you know, we finished our coaching, but I, you know, moved on with you. And then I felt like that's what I really needed, was to heal from the abuse, you know, and have some therapy, if you will. So
because it's like you're saying as well, you're cerebral, you know. And I think a lot of the work we did, yes, there was coaching, but there was a shed load of learning. Like you said, he went through the narcissist course, went to understand compatibility, healthy relationships, all these different depths of all these different things. And you know, it's like that way you're able to piece together yourself as well. Because I don't know, I think you're very similar to me. It's like, look, yes, okay, you can tell me to feel better, but actually, no, give me the reasons why.
Yeah.
Because it helps you to literally take everything in. But this is amazing. So last question then, because it sounds like everything's like going absolutely perfectly. You've met someone who's like on this like soul connection level with you, which is just beautiful and it's flowing beautifully. What would you say to someone who was previously in your position of like, whether they were just coming out of a narcissistic relationship or whether they were coming out of divorce or whatever it might be, what would you say to them if they're on the fence now about potentially working, you know, working with me or going on to one of the programs?
So like, I know, like for me, like what really, you know, put me over the edge is like, is just knowing that, and I'm obviously in sales, I'm a coach myself, but like, we have to ask ourselves, like, am I committed to the solution to my problem, right?
Yes.
Why am I doing this coaching program? Am I willing to sit with this pain any longer, or would I rather work with somebody who's experienced that can help me through it? Because like, I just remember even like when we started work together, like I said, it was really the value that I had on that one intro call that like I was sold, because I'm like, I could feel that you like knew what you were talking about. You knew exactly, like you had the answers. Right. And I was like, I want the answers. I want to be rid of this. Like, I don't want to, you know, and you shouldn't do it alone. Like I said, I talk to people every day that want to build a business. I'm like, don't do this alone. Yes. You're going to make more mistakes. It's going to be more painful and it's going to cost more. And it's like, what is money, right? Money's an energetic exchange. It's just an exchange of energy. And it's like, we have to get out of our heads and into our hearts about like, you know, what are you going to gain from this? Right. What is the value of, you know, exchanging something in order to get something? And it was life-changing, like I said, for me. Even somebody that like you knew that I was probably a very like smart, more educated than your like maybe typical person, because I had done so much work, but I'm
you've
like
done loads of work. Yeah.
Something I don't know, and I know when it's time to bring in an expert, right? Yeah, you can read all these books, you can do all these things, but like the value of just having someone to talk to in a way that creates a safe space where there's trust, like this isn't stuff I can talk to my mom about, you know. This isn't stuff I could talk to a friend about, like somebody that really is just going to listen to me. Like a lot of times our calls were just me venting or just kind of listening.
We all need a vent.
I'll just shut up, you know, like, okay, now you can talk. But it was just really to be heard, right? That's that at the very basic level, that's really what this was, is like, I would do my coursework and it really kept me on track. Like I got that stuff done every single week. It kept me on track. It was just enough information. And, you know, and I was doing the work, right? And having something like a course, when you're investing something, like, as humans, we need something with formal structure or it's not going to happen, right?
Yes.
So when we invest in something, we move, we follow our money, right? That's what we do. So for me, it was like, I made a decision. I'm like, I'm doing this, send go, pay in full, you know, and then let's go, let's do this. And everything just shifted, right? Yes. And that's how powerful it is to make a decision, is to get off the fence, right? yes. Do it. Like it's going to be amazing. And that's why, like, you know, like I said, I just saw the value of, and like I said, there were other programs I was looking into at the time, but it was like group coaching. And I'm like, no, I really want the one-on-one. The one-on-one is where I feel I am the best, because I don't want to be sharing things publicly. But like, there were conversations that really got emotional and those things need to be released, and they were deep, you know, and it was hard, but like you created this safe space. You're a great coach. You're always there for me. You went above and beyond. Like, and it's like, that's how I knew, you know, that we were meant to work together, you know?
Honestly, thank you. I'll tell you what, I am, I feel so grateful. I feel like actually getting a bit teary. I feel so grateful that we work together. Seeing your amazing transformation, because seriously, like, you had so much to go through in such a short amount of time, and your growth has been absolutely incredible. And to see you where you are now, like, I've got freaking goosebumps with some of the stuff that you shared. And the, you know, to meet someone on your level where it's easy, where it's effortless, wow. So I'm super proud of you, and just thank you so much for working with me.
Thank you for everything. Like I said, I couldn't have done it without you. You know, all of my coaches, like the one I had for the last 5 years, like, she helped me get through such a rough time. Like whenever I needed something, it was just like, I would do a call with her and I would just feel like, every time I talk to her, I feel better after. And it's, yeah. So it's like, and so that's what I do with her, is, you know, we have like check-ins, but it's accountability, right? But it's like every time I brought my pain and my cerebralisms and all this stuff, it was just kind of like, there's actually a picture where they were saying, you know, what's the difference of like therapy is having like your ball, your head is in a ball of yarn. And then when you go to the therapist and they just kind of like straighten that line out, make it all nice and neat. It's like, that's what you do. That's what therapists do. They kind of make sense of the jumbled mess of your mind where we have all these blind spots, right? And coaching has always been powerful for me, you know, because like I said, I can't be an expert of everything. I can't know everything, you know? And even as a coach, I need a coach, right? I'm still working through some stuff, you know? So it's like, I had to humble yourself down and say, you know what? You obviously had all this, the experience, and I, you know, vetted you and I really liked what you had to offer, and that your heart was just genuinely in the right place. Like, that's what I really felt. It wasn't just all the content, but that was great. But it was really just knowing that I felt comfortable with you to open up in a way that, like I said, these were really vulnerable things, right? And we're in different countries, and it's like, I don't know you, but I was like, you made it easy for me to trust and kind of, you know, say yes to that opportunity.
Oh, well, thank you. Honestly, thank you so much. And thank you so much for sharing your journey as well.
Of course, really, my pleasure. I hope it inspires a lot of people, because like I said, it was life-changing. It was a game changer, you know, and I don't like people to live with a regret that they would have and could have and should have, but didn't.
Love that. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. I think Jenny shared so many amazing insights. I think one of the things that I really, really loved as well was she was saying about the work that we did together helped her actually get to the right place to be able to enjoy the relationship she's in now. And this is the thing, most people just want to jump straight into dating. They want to, you know, say the 10 things. They want to create the dating profile. You don't need to do all the superficial stuff. It's always the deeper stuff, okay? And that's really important. But most people ignore it. Most people just want to gloss over it because it's not as fun. And it can be a little bit scary. But when you start understanding yourself more, and when you start loving you, and when you start realizing the truth within you, well, then you're able to love someone else, you're able to see the truth in someone else, and you're able to build a life with someone else. And guess what? Because you've done it from that place of truth, because you've done it from that place of love, it's going to last. This is why this inner work and doing the right things is so important when it comes to actually meeting the right person. So the nice thing is, you need to start to understand if you're someone who is ready to commit to that. Are you ready to commit to yourself? Are you ready to commit to your happiness? Are you ready to commit to your life? Because the truth is, this is not just about relationships. This is not just about meeting the right person. This is about your reality. This is about, you know, what are you creating for yourself right now? What's the future that you're creating? What's the type of partner that you want to share that future with or that reality with? Because it goes so much more deeper. Because the type of partner you actually connect with and the level of healing that you do will actually, you know, influence the emotions that you feel on a daily basis, whether you feel happy, whether you feel depressed, whether you feel worthy of love, whether you feel loved, whether you feel rejected, all these different things. But the thing is, that's all to do with the inner work that you need to do. So are you going to commit to yourself? Because did you hear me actually use the word commit? Most people often focus of, you know, their focus on commitment is actually, you know, someone committing to them. But if you're not committing to you, how on earth can you expect someone else to commit to you? The same goes for love. If you can't love yourself, then how can you expect someone else to love you? If you're not happy with yourself or happy with your life, how can you expect someone else to feel happy within your life too? This stuff is so important, yet it's not taught in schools. It's not what we're taught about relationships. And guess what? You know, this, divorce rate keeps rising and rising and rising. And we wonder why. because people forget how to connect to themselves and to connect to others. So this is actually one of the main reasons why I created the Academy. So if you are interested, if you are ready to commit to yourself, head over to the Love with Intelligence Academy. And the nice thing is, you know, you can actually join at whatever level you feels right for you. The other awesome thing is that when you join and when you meet someone, you can invite your partner onto the course too. So you know how to build and create that relationship together, you know, aligned with one another. And it's also not about creating this cookie cutter relationship or cookie cutter approach. Everything is tailored to you. Because this is the other thing. We often fall victim to society's way of thinking or society's way of life. You know, we go to school, we go and get a 9-to-5, we get married, we have kids, we grow old, have grandchildren, and that's that. Great, well done. But the thing is, that kind of life or that kind of structure doesn't work for everyone. And the same goes for relationships. It's about finding what works for you. You know, do you want more an exclusive relationship? Do you want children? Do you want an open relationship? Do you want to get married? Do you want to carry on living in the country that you're living in? See, there's already so many different things there, just in that sentence. That could change the type of relationship that you have. It could also change the way that you look for that partner. It could also change the way that you feel about yourself and all these different things. You know, when you're dealing with, you know, people who have identities as unique as fingerprints, and you're bringing in another very unique identity, well, something needs to happen with that relationship because it's going to be a very unique relationship. So how do you build it in a healthy way that lasts? And that's what we focus on. That's exactly what we focus on. And this is also why we actually work with people for 6 months. It's because so much can change within that space of time, but it also gives you enough time to know yourself. It gives you enough time to meet someone, and it gives you enough time to be able to create the right foundation within your new relationship. So it's about, are you ready to commit? Because the other thing is, not everyone's ready for it. Not everyone's ready to commit to themselves. Not everyone's ready for a relationship. Not everyone, are you ready for this? Not everyone is ready for a happy, fulfilled life that they believe they deserve. And the thing is, deep down, you know you're ready. Deep down, you know that life, even if it might feel a little bit out of reach right now, you know that life is waiting for you. But the thing is, most people forget to take the step forward in order to have that life, to experience that life. Because that life is also, you know, outside your comfort zone. And I want you to have that. I don't want you living a life where you don't get to experience that level of love. I don't want you to go through this amazing life not experiencing one of the main things that allows us to feel alive, connected, loved. You can't replace love. And I want you to get, you know, have the real experience, not the fake one. Far too many people get the fake one. So if that's something that you're ready for, definitely jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com/academy. And I will be waiting for you the other side, and we will share that journey together over 6 months where you can meet the one with absolute ease. So I'll just share that website one more time. It's www.lovewithintelligence.com/academy. Now, I hope you've really enjoyed this episode today. It's something a little bit different, hearing Jenny's amazing story. I needed to share that with you because she's so inspirational. I'm so freaking proud of her journey because it was just gorgeous just seeing her go through so much and seeing her grow and seeing her in a fantastic, loving relationship. So I want to say a huge thank you for listening. I hope that you join us next time. And I hope you have a beautiful week filled with lots of love, lots of happiness, lots of joy. And I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us on the Love with Intelligence radio show. I'm so grateful that you joined us today. And I'm also so grateful that you are dedicating your time to improve your love life. So, as you are already on this journey, would it be crazy for you to jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com, and check out our many resources that's going to support you to enjoy your dream love life now? So that's lovewithintelligence.com, and I shall see you next time. Bye for now.